Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson, and today's guest hails from Adelaide, South Australia. She is an author, a teacher, a speaker, a writer, a wife, and a mother to four. She hopes to be seen as a strong Christian who loves the Lord and desires to bring Him glory in whatever her hands find to do. She is the founder of Blended Not Shaken Ministries. She has published 5 books, including My Two Houses, Caught in the Middle, and My Family Bush. Let's welcome Karina Hudson to the CWS table. Yay!
Hello!
Karina, I am so excited to have you here because we both have a goal to empower children and families, which is how we initially met.
Yes.
I connected with you through Christian Children's Empower, my ministry, and then with your ministry. And you shared some of your material with us, which entail help some of the children that we were working with. So I am extremely grateful to have you here, a part of today's show.
Thank you for having me, Jackie. It's an honor and a privilege to be talking to you today.
Yeah, and so we want people to get to hear your story. I've heard your story before, but I want them to just dive in deep with us because what you're doing is very important for families. So let's talk about who Karina was before we transitioned to starting this ministry.
Well, I suppose there's a bit of a background. I've been a Christian now for nearly 41 years this year, actually. Yeah. I came to the Lord at the tender age of 8. I did grow up in a Christian family. My mum became a Christian a year before I did, and then my dad a year after I did. My brother and I came to the Lord at a children's ministry outreach service at our church at the time. Actually, it wasn't our church at the time. It was our best friend's church at the time, and they invited us along. And from that moment there, I just poured myself into the Word of God at a tender age. I just loved reading the Bible and I loved being involved in church. And my brothers and I were all encouraged to be a part of the music ministry and, you know, to sing and to play instruments for the Lord and to work in the church. And then we grew up into the youth ministry and went from there. I always tried to be a girl that, you know, that love the Lord. I've always had strong convictions of my faith and my beliefs. And one of those was my first boyfriend was going to be the one that I married. And I think that's quite a noble, you know, quite a noble aspiration, I suppose. I didn't want to have the baggage of, you know, having multiple boyfriends before I got married. But that ideal, unfortunately, didn't pan out for me. And my first boyfriend, yes, I did marry, but we only lasted a year. He was a young man in the church at the time, but we really did not have a good time of things. And because of that, my whole family, who I've just outlined, had been a part of that church for over 15 years, was essentially excommunicated from the church because of that marriage breakdown. And it was very, very confronting, and it was a difficult time. But I can clearly tell you and your viewers that there's no bitterness there. You know, that was a path that I needed to walk down, and thankfully my family also walked that road with me. We settled in a different church. I remained single for a few years and then met and married my second husband, and he and I were married for 5 years and had 2 beautiful children. Unfortunately, though, I have to say that marriage was probably worse than the first, unfortunately. And there was a lot of violence and there was a lot of dysfunctionality there and a lot of concerning issues with that relationship. And having 2 young children of, at the time, 3 and 5 months old, I needed to really get out of that situation just for the safety of everyone involved. And again, my family, bless them, were just such a blessing and such a support to me at that time. And I continued to have counselling. I had probably more counselling in that time of my life than ever before, Christian counselling with my pastors, and also professional Christian counselling outside of my church. to really get the healing that I needed, to really be able to function in a way that was healthy going forward. Yeah, as you can imagine, being a Christian and being a Christian for as many years as I had at that stage, and being in Christian environments and having two failed marriages, that was something that caused a lot of shame and a lot of guilt and a lot of condemnation. People were split on the whole issue of me, and others like me, I think, in the Christian community that have suffered separation and divorce in their lives as Christians. And despite numerous attempts at reconciliation, that doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. And so there needed to be restoration, there needed to be repentance on my part, of course. You know, divorce is a sin, and God sees it as a sin too. But it's not an unforgivable sin, I need your viewers to understand. It's not a sin that God cannot forgive and restore. No sin is greater than another, I suppose. I think there's only one sin the Bible talks about, and that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which is a sin that's unforgivable. But all the sins that mankind carry out post being Christians, and we do, we still live in a fallen world. God, in his great mercy and his love and forgiveness and what Jesus did for us on the cross, enables us to find forgiveness again. So around about, was it 2 or 3 years I was a single parent for with my two little children at the time. Mm-hmm. And I went as one of the attendants to a friend's wedding. And Tony, my now husband of nearly 15 years, was also in the wedding party too. We were both single parents at the time. As you can imagine, I had no intention of being married again, and I was quite wary of all of that. So Tony and I began a friendship. We're both strong Christians at the time, like I said, both single parents, and one thing led to another, I suppose, and as they say, the rest is history. Mm-hmm. We went through a lot of counselling beforehand. We obviously needed to, in a sense, not convince our families, but show them that we were in this for the long haul. Tyson, my stepson, also was a part of the mix. So Tony had a son who was 5 at the time and 6 when we got married. Then Jeremiah and Felicity obviously were with me. And within a year later, we had our 4th, Nathaniel, who's the ours in our yours, mine and our blended family. So we can say by God's grace that he's led us this far. But it's around about in 2014 that I started to really sense that I needed to publish what my children had been saying to me during those formative years. Mm-hmm. When they were going backwards and forwards from their dad's house to my house as very young children, and all of the trauma and all of the difficulties they experienced, I sensed the Holy Spirit say, write this down, write it all down. Well, all the little writings in my journals have resulted in now 5 books, 4 of which are dedicated to our 4 children, each of them their own little story of their experiences. Mm-hmm. And I would have liked, as my husband, who is a product, unfortunately, of a broken home himself too, would have liked books like the ones that we've produced that help children, specifically children, in this difficult time of navigating the separation of their parents, particularly in a Christian context, Jackie. Now, I don't know what you've seen out there as far as resources for children who are in, you know, in the middle of their parents' divorce, but there is not a lot out there, and I don't know anything to date that's Christian-based for children that are suffering in this way. And so that's the heart of the ministry in a nutshell. And being self-published, I needed to create my own little self-published, you know, name or publishing name, which was Blended Not Shaken Publications. But Blended Not Shaken Ministries, and if, you know, your viewers can go onto the website at blendednotshaken.com.au at some point, they will see that the ministry really seeks to dignify people that are caught in or have been victims of separation and divorce as Christians, seeks to disciple them and then direct them into the path that God may have for them in the future, because there is life after divorce, not only for the adults involved, but for the children as well. And so that in a nutshell is me and what's happened over the last so many years of my life.
Yeah, and I think a lot of, like you said before, a lot of people feel there is shame there. You know, people think you should just keep it together and keep whatever business is going on in your household, in your house. But
yes,
it comes to a point where it's dangerous for you. You do have to think about your safety and the safety of the children. And I think people forget about that, you know, showing that compassion, that love. Reminds me of the woman that was caught in adultery and how Jesus showed compassion toward her while everyone else wanted to condemn her. And I think families need compassion. Nobody usually goes into marriage thinking, I'm going to get a divorce. You're going in for the long haul. And unfortunately, when certain problems arise, you may have to find yourself walking away from that marriage. And it is unfortunate, and it's not something anyone wants to experience. But if it does happen with you, then thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for grace. And let's talk about what happens to the children. A lot of times people forget that children are affected by what's going on. The children hear the arguments. The children, you know, hear the strain in your voice. They see the tiredness in your eyes. And that affects them as well. And sometimes they may feel like, let me step up. Let me be more of a man of a house. And that's really not their role. Their role is to be children and progress naturally as they should at that age. But that's why I love what you do. It's like you're taking something that's seemingly broken. And I say seemingly because, the relationship may be broken, but you in turn turn into something beautiful. And I feel like that's what you've really done with your books. I've had the privilege of reading the books and even sharing those books with children who feel like they are broken in their homes. And I can tell you that from my experience, just watching a child read the book, they felt better. They just felt better. And sometimes you just need that encouragement that it's going to be okay. So you talked about how you dedicated the books to your children. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about what's actually in the books?
Well, the first book, My Two Houses, and I've got a little show and tell here for your viewers. This one is as a little pack, as you can see. You might be able to see there's a little bear and there's some, I think they're called postcards, all right, and the book in there. But My Two Houses, the first book, talks very much about the backwards and forwards going from dad's house to mum's house and the difficulties that come where the child may forget something that's really precious to them and it's at their other parent's house and they can't go back and get it until next time they see the other parent. Talking about the difficulties and the feelings that they experience as a result of having divorced parents and living technically in two homes. But it's important that I wanted to not only outline the issues that are associated with the children in these situations, but then, as we've talked already, the God of hope and healing and restoration also comes into the books. So, for example, with My Two Houses, it goes on to say that not everything is sad, scary, and lonely. When I'm going from mum's house to dad's house, I have two birthday parties. I have two Christmas celebrations. I'm learning what it's like for other people that are also going through the same thing. I have stories to share with my family when I'm not with them and so on. And bringing, twisting it back around to there is always hope with the Lord. There's always hope in a messy situation. Like we say, you know, what does it say, God? You know, these little memes that we read, God makes a message from our messes. You know, he makes something beautiful out of something that's broken and ugly. Ecclesiastes says that, doesn't he? He makes all things beautiful in his time. So My Two Houses is like that. Caught in the Middle is for slightly older children, although younger children can also have it read to them. And it talks more about feelings like sadness and happiness versus having a joy of the Lord. So it starts to bring in some other concepts, Christian virtues as well, and how children can navigate their feelings in a way that aligns with the scriptures. Mm-hmm. So, for example, one of the scriptures, and I have scriptures in all of my books, one of the scriptures in Caught in the Middle talks about the joy of the Lord is your strength, and the difference between joy versus happiness. Mm-hmm. And I hope to convey that in a way to my young readers and to their families, the difference, and hopefully parents also can gain knowledge and understanding from the scriptures that are in the books. And with my two houses, we look at Joshua and how Joshua needed to be strong and courageous. In Caught in the Middle, we look at Esther, and we look at how Esther needed to be courageous, even though she felt really sad and scared in her situation with King Xerxes in the palace and what she needed to do for her people. When I then make it a little bit different in my family bush, that's Nathaniel's story. That's the littlest one in the household. His story looks at step, half, siblings, and those concepts that come with a step family. So you've got step siblings, you've got half siblings. And even though Nathaniel never refers to his older siblings as half siblings, you know, he knows they are, because it's only half of, you know, half him, it's one of his parents. So, and also as opposed to, you know, step siblings, which are what his siblings share with one another. And it puts a, you know, a bit of a fun slant on it. A family bush is a lot more, you know, complicated. A family tree seems to be a lot more easy to navigate. But saying that all families, regardless of their structure, are special and loved by God. Now, obviously, I mentioned Jesus also in my family bush, and how Jesus had a whole lot of half-brothers and sisters. Yeah. He was the oldest in a family, and how Joseph technically was his stepfather, wasn't he? Because he knows, we all know that Jesus' heavenly father was in heaven at the time when he was walking this earth. So I like to use scripture in my books and to show children that their situation isn't overly unique in that sense, that there's a lot of people in that situation, and also Bible characters that share a lot of the emotions that they share. I also made sure they were edited well. I made sure that pastors looked over them as well, and that they were theologically sound. I didn't want to be taking any sort of poetic license with the books either, and mucking around with God's word. But I hope and pray that the books, you know, truly do give glory to the Lord, and as well as helping other people. I don't think, Jackie, I've sent you my fourth book yet, have I? The One Step at a Time, which is the graphic novel. I'm not sure. Do you have that one? I'll gift you a copy of that and send that to you along with my latest book. But this might be interesting for those that are older, the young adults that are some of your listeners, because it's a graphic novel rather than a children's picture book. Mm-hmm. And it has 9 chapters in it. Each chapter is dedicated to a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And this one was my stepson's stories, Tyson, and it was written from some of his perspective and some of mine, so readers would be able to differentiate whether it's stepmum talking or whether it's stepson talking, and real stories. These are real stories that have happened in our family. So our life is really truly an open book, as it were, and hopefully children will be able to relate who are in step families themselves, but also be able to have a devotion at the end of each of these chapters that's dedicated to one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, November last year, and slightly, you know, in a different frame of mind, but still the same demographic, but it's for single mums, and I'll send you a copy of this, Jackie, as a gift as well.
Yeah.
That is called Sing a Song to Single Mums. And this one is a rhyming book, and this one is specifically dedicated to single mum households. So where dad's not present or dad's not there often, this is a book for them, and has lots of scriptures in it, and the scriptures are outlined on the back page of the book. I've used a lot, as you can see, in a rhyming format, and I hope to also release the end of this year, the sixth book, which is a Sing a Song to Single Dads, because there are many dads that are doing it tough as well, and mum isn't present or is not available a lot of the time. So I'm hoping that one will come out soon too.
Yeah, that's Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I think it's wonderful because you're thinking about the entire family dynamic. You're not just focusing on one group. You're trying to provide empowering material for each person that will be affected. How do your children feel knowing that their story is helping other people?
That's a good question. Look, there are days when I think they get it. There are days where they understand that their book is helping other people, mm-hmm. and that I try and reiterate to them at different times. Now, I've chosen not to work so much outside of the home to pursue this ministry. So as a result, I'm not working as much and not earning as much as I would if I was a full-time or even almost full-time teacher. Mm-hmm. And so my older boys particularly, who are now either going to uni or working full-time or a combination of that, one of them often says, oh, Mum, you know, are you wasting your time here? You know, you're putting a lot of money into these books and into the brochures and, you know, mail outs and so on. You know, are you wasting your time? And I've had to say to him, no, I don't believe I am, because every time a child reads one of the books, mm-hmm. whether it's read to them or they borrow it from a library at their school or it's in their church, you know, resources, I know that it's having an impact. And it's not because of anything that I've done per se. It's because of what the truths of the books, you know, are pertaining to, what they're saying. And so I try and reiterate to my kids as often as I can, this is a ministry. It's not something that I am profiting from. It is investing into eternity. You know, my rewards will be in heaven. Yeah. And that's how as Christians we need to see the work we do here, that we're not here to make a name for ourselves. We're not here to make lots of money or whatever, or be famous or whatever the case may be, to have some sort of celebrity status. We're called, as Jesus has shown us in the Gospels, to be salt and light and to be ministers and disciple people and to love people.
Yes.
And so this is just the way we're doing it. And I'm really hoping and believing that as they grow and mature, they will truly see the impact to some degree. And even then, they won't know until they get to heaven themselves, will they? And they might have some come up to them and say, oh, your book, you know, My Family Bush really helped me when. And we've got eternity to discover all those beautiful interactions, and that would be the case for you as well and anyone else that's working for the Lord. We'll see in heaven the results of our labours here. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm praying for. I'm really praying and believing. They're obviously touched, I think, that they've got a book in their name, so to speak, even though their name's not in it. they understand that this is important to me to do. But I think with maturity, the weight of the ministry and the books, I think, will deepen in time.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely believe that. Sometimes we have to grow into it, definitely. Mm. So I think they will understand later and maybe even join you in ministry later. Mm. Say, hey, this is my story. Let me tell you a little bit more. That would be awesome.
Oh, I'd love that. I have dreams that will happen, Jackie. I don't know if they're visions of the future or just my imaginings as a mother, but my husband and I often pray, you know, let our children and their influence in the world be greater than we ever were, and that they would truly just shine for the Lord, particularly their generation coming up. As we know, the world is a dark place and so desperately in need of Jesus and his saving grace, and we need our kids, this generation coming up, to be biblically literate, to be understanding the gospel, mm-hmm. knowing how to, you know, give a reason for the hope that's in them. And that's just the prayer of Tony and I, and I'm sure many parents out there that are praying for their children to have strong faith and ministries into the next generation and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I absolutely love your ministry's name, Blend It, Not Shake It. I love it. How did you decide that would be the name of your ministry?
It's funny, isn't it? I, There were a number of scriptures during the time when I was having counselling after my second failed marriage, and then in consideration of Tony and marrying him, and the counselling that went along with that, and prayer and wisdom that I needed. And I came across some beautiful scriptures, and one of them was from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and it talks about the comfort that God gives us. And if you don't mind, I'll just read some of it. So it talks about from verse 3 that we are blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulations, knowing that we may be able to comfort those then who are in any trouble with the same comfort for which we were given ourselves by God. And I thought, wow, that is so important. God has comforted me during this time. How can I comfort others with that same comfort? Yeah. And it was like a light bulb moment. There was also in 2 Corinthians, but later on in chapter 4, the section where Paul says to the Corinthian church, we have a treasure in earthen vessels, this treasure, and the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And it goes on to say, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And I thought, well, you know what, we're talking about blended families, but we're also not shaken in that blended, in that blendedness. Yeah. And so that's where blended, not shaken came in. And there's people that like, you know, I've got friends that sometimes say, how's shaken, not stirred going? And, you know, make a bit of a joke about it, you know, be silly or silly with me about it. But I'm really, people generally have shared the sentiment that you have said, that blended, not shaken, it's a great name. And I think it's come really from the scriptures that I read, and just the insight that I think the Holy Spirit gave me to, in understanding what we're here for. You know, God blesses us with all of his beautiful attributes and his gifts. And if comforting is one of those gifts that God's given us, it's very clear from Paul's second, you know, book to the Corinthians, or second letter, sorry, to the Corinthians, we need to pass that comfort on to other people. Yeah. And so that's where that comes from, that name. Yeah.
Marina, you said so many important things. It's so much that people can take from this. I love the fact that you talked about going to counseling after the marriages did not go the way that you wanted to. And talking about, you know, you have no shame to talk about that. And I think people need to know that those types of things are okay, that it is normal. Get with a good counselor for you, your children, or whoever else may be affected. That part of it is important. Yeah. I love the fact that you talked about the shame that you face, but your family support that you receive was so important. And it emphasizes to us, as if somebody is going through something, family or friend, it is important for us to gather around them and give them the support that they need, and not talk about everything that's wrong and talk about what people should be doing, but just say, hey, how can I help make the situation better? And I think that's so important. And of course, your message itself to families, you're blended, but you're not shaken. It's okay. Things didn't work out like you wanted it to, but this is not the end. Take the messiness of the situation, turn it into a message, and bless other people. I absolutely love it. Can you tell people, I know you mentioned earlier about your website, can you mention again where they can find your books and how they can connect with you for Blended Not Shaken?
So my website is www.blendednotshaken, obviously all one word, lowercase, .com.au. So obviously I am, as you've mentioned before, in Australia. I'm an Aussie. But you can certainly access my website, doesn't matter where you are in the world. I know there's a number of people across the world that I can see come across my website from all across the globe, and they can navigate that quite easily. There's a shop there too that they can purchase, different ways to be able to pay. Everything's converted for you. Our dollar isn't as good as your dollar, Jackie. Oh. But those. So, but that's okay. I don't mind. I love the fact that I have a website set up that can, does all the conversions of all the different currencies. So there's no worries there, and it's a safe way to purchase. And like I've said, there's other prints from the book that are scriptures that can go in a child's room or in a house, or even be given to a mother or even a father that's suffered in this way and that needs the comfort of the scriptures to help them. Something I just wanted just to add when you were mentioning about the counselling, something came to mind. Uh-huh. And yes, you're right. Having supportive family around you is so important. Counselling, don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to get the assistance that you need. Obviously, Christian counselling is probably the best form of counselling for Christians, because then those counsellors are coming from a Christian worldview or a biblical worldview. But for those people that are in this situation, yes, it is important to have family or to have a few close friends, but you don't want those friends to be ones that are always agreeing with you as well. You know, I remember at different times I had a couple of friends and I had my family members who were always very honest with me. And I had to listen to that. You know, I'd already given them permission to speak into my life. You don't just listen to any person on the street who wants to give you advice. Obviously, you're wise and discerning on who you speak in, who speaks into your life. And be wise with that. But also don't just dismiss people if they're saying something that might be a little bit tricky sometimes, or it makes you feel a bit uncomfortable. And you do have to look at yourself as well. You know, there are always two people in a marriage breakdown. And sometimes it is more one person than the other. You know, sometimes there are very obvious circumstances where it's very clear that one person is more to blame than the other. But we need to also look at ourselves and not be victims in this. See that God is victorious over all our circumstances. Look at where we can improve. Look at where we can make adjustments to ourselves. Because the work of the Holy Spirit in that sanctifying work mm-hmm. that we have, you know, making us become more like Jesus, happens our whole lives until Jesus returns or we meet him in heaven. And so be comfortable in that work of sanctification, because sometimes it can be a little bit uncomfortable. There were things about myself that I needed to address. There were things that I needed to say, okay, I need to make some changes here too. I have got some faulty thinking. I've got some ways of doing that perhaps aren't completely healthy or mature. And those things come out in good counselling sessions. So that's what I'd say to you, your viewers. Don't dismiss something that's different to what you're thinking. Be willing to change. Be willing to grow. Listen to godly counsel, but obviously surround yourself with people that are, you know, that are of like-mindedness to you, and know that the worldview that you hold is the same as theirs.
Yeah, definitely. Be on the same page of definitely somebody who shares the notion of salvation with you and the ideas of God, who God is in your life, but get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I love it. I absolutely mm-hmm. love it. Karina, thank you so much for sharing your story with our listeners. I'm just so grateful again that you were able to be a part of this, because I truly believe that what you're doing is helping healing families, from children to stepmoms and stepdads, and just families as they try to figure all of these little things out. It is important that everyone works together in the same mind of Christ. And thank you so much for just being a part of this.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. People, this is another episode of Christian Writing and Speaking. Our guest was Karina Hudson. Make sure you go and check out her website and check out her books. And if you want more of this, let us know. We can always do more. Thank you, and God bless.